Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Call Me Adam, and on this episode of Bearing It All with Call Me Adam on the Broadway Podcast Network, I am chatting with television producer, director, and screenwriter Stan Zimmerman. We'll be talking about writing for TV hits like The Golden Girls, Gilmore Girls, and Roseanne, plus, as well as his forthcoming book, The Girls, From Golden to Gilmore, and all of his theatrical endeavors. There's so much to cover, so stay tuned. Hi, Stan.
Hello.
How are you?
Do I have to call you Adam?
You don't have to, but
well,
it's encouraged.
It is
yes, it is encouraged.
Yes, it's told to.
It is, yes. Well, that's sort of why my site used to be called something else. It used to be called The Dumbbells Quest.
Okay.
But nobody could remember it.
And
or
you got smarter,
it.
Is that it? You're still a dumbbell.
I'm still a dumbbell.
Okay.
Because I'm Rose.
Okay.
But no, a friend of mine actually was like, why don't you just call your site Call Me Adam? And this way everybody knows what to call you.
And now we do.
And now we do. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Adam.
Yes. Stan. I'm going to call you Stan.
Yeah, it's me, Stan.
Yes. So, let's get started. So Stan and I met on, we were on the inaugural cruise of Golden Fans at
Sea.
It's
a tough word to say,
it
isn't
is.
It? Do you want to do it one more time?
No. Yeah. No, I could do it again.
I don't think
inaugural.
You can. Okay, there you go.
Cruise of Golden Fans at Sea.
Yes.
And it was a cruise for Golden Girls fans.
Yeah.
And Stan was there. Rue McClanahan's sister, Melinda,
her,
was
yeah.
there. It was the Golden Gates of New York City were there. I mean, it was so much fun. And Stan and I met, I think, the first night.
Yeah.
And
of the second cruise.
Of the second cruise, yes. We
so
were on
I went
the
on
second cruise.
Back to back.
Yes.
So it was like 600 on the first and over 1,000 on the second.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You saw the picture of the costume contest?
Yes. Yes. Insane.
I mean, even I'm like was staggered when I saw how many people.
I mean, the show really touched so many people.
That was what was so cool. And people kept saying, I don't know if you want to hear this. And like, no, you don't know what it means to like have written something so long ago. And of course, you put all your heart and soul mm-hmm. into it. And then years later, to meet the people that it actually affected from all over the world, really.
Yes.
And to hear their personal stories. I mean, some were really touching mm-hmm. and sweet, and some were funny, and or how they connected. You know, usually hear, oh, I watched it with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how many shows are there that you could sit down with your grandmother
right.
and everybody could laugh.
Yes.
No matter what age.
I mean, my whole family got together every Saturday night. We yeah. were around the TV watching the Golden Girls. It touches everybody. And now
still
because it's on, it's on Hulu. It's on practically every channel all the time.
As it should be.
It should be,
yes.
Of course. But it's introduced to new generations. So it's like three or four generations could watch together.
And I've ridden those waves, but there seems to be something in the past year or so, and maybe it's because of Hulu,
mm-hmm.
that it's just like exploded again.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, the crews you saw, they were all ages. It was,
yes.
It was
from like 90 all the way down to there. There were few kids
yeah, few
there.
Kids,
yeah, but it spanned. I mean, it's literally multi-generational.
And we'd go into the dining room, but there were so many costume nights.
Mm-hmm.
So there were so many of these white heads,
yes.
Wigs. I don't know if they were real wigs or actually old ladies. I don't know. It didn't matter. We were all there. And a lot of caftans. And,
yes, yeah. a lot.
Yes.
A lot. But it was just so great to be there amongst people who have this love. And now the cruise is going to be again in 2021
yes.
in April. So, I mean, there's definitely something there with it. You know, not every TV show has their own cruise.
No, they
so.
Do not. Although Gilmore Girls, we are going into our fifth year of a fan fest in Connecticut. It'll be Kent, Connecticut, October 16th through 18th.
Oh.
GilmoreGirlsFanFest.com. And I've been going every year, and I'm going back, and I'm very excited.
Let's talk about
okay.
the Golden Girls, because
okay,
that is my all-time favorite
okay.
show.
And you're wearing the T-shirts.
I am wearing
this,
yes. So this was like your first big TV writing
not
show.
The first job. We got a staff job on a little show we won't speak of.
Okay.
It can be found somewhere
okay.
on IMDb. But it was the first big job, and it was a job that really, it was our second staff job. We had done a couple of episodes in between our two staff jobs. We did an episode of Fame that Debbie Allen directed
yes.
and Janet Jackson was in. It
yes.
was her first music video, I'll have you know. She never made a music video.
Wow.
And it was called Dream Street. You can't find it. And sometimes they play the gay bars, which I always get very excited.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was like it started in sepia tone, and she was this little student, and then she went into this big MGM glamour color dance number. And
oh, my God.
It was really exciting. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So,
how did I get on Golden Girls?
Yeah, how do you, I mean, do you...
How does that happen?
Yeah, yes. How do you, like, apply for that kind of job?
Well, you don't really apply, but you have an agent send your scripts in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they liked our scripts, and they had us come in. What you do is you go and you pitch episodes. And it hadn't even been on the air yet, but they knew, I think the pilot had already been picked up, so that they knew they needed episodes.
Mm.
They had a pretty small staff. So we're like, went and watched the pilot, and of course we knew all the actors.
Yeah,
like, oh my God, this is really funny, but we still like, who's gonna watch this show? Like, nobody thought it would be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we worked out like maybe 15 episode ideas, and you go in and you pitch them and you hope for the job. And they didn't like any of them.
Wow.
And then we were walking to the door, and then I turned around in the door and I said something like, what if Rose's mother came to visit? I don't know. I was so desperate. It was like, I'm, you know, desperate times, Rose, right?
Right.
And their faces lit up, and they said, come back in and sit down. And we started working out the beats of the story. And they gave us that assignment, and we wrote it pretty quickly. And that became Rose's mother and Blanche and the younger man. And surprisingly, it's because it's a real art to be able to mimic the voice of another writer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other art besides writing. And so they liked what we had written, and it stayed pretty much that same script, which is very rare,
wow.
Especially when you're not there day to day. They brought us on staff right away. And there we were, you know, super young and thrown into this world. And but the producers knew that there was a lot of importance you felt around this. Like, this was a big deal. They didn't want to really mess up. Usually the producers like, let the writers, you go and you do. But this, the producers sat in the writer's room. They were like,
wow.
We need to make sure every joke is, you don't just give, you know, so-so jokes to, you know, Bea Arthur.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Or you'll be in trouble. No. so we did feel that. And that was just, you know, extra added pressure. Yeah, so it was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be there to watch it literally explode in a good way,
yes.
Right in front of us. And we're going, oh my God, like, people love this. We knew it was funny, but then you see the world experience it.
Yes.
And then that was super cool. And I got it. And then the industry obviously took notice of that and then took notice of us. And then, like, just all these doors just opened up. But I was so young. Most of my contemporaries were, you know, just starting out or finishing college, or so, you know, to be like the first of the group to suddenly, oh, I could buy a house, I can have my own car, things like that. You know, people were so supportive. My friends were great about it and really shared in this, you know, phenomenon that was happening before our eyes.
That's so exciting.
It was exciting.
And what a great job to have, to work with all four women.
Yes and no. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, people don't know behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a good show. You know, it was great actors.
Yes.
But then there's always the politics of the office and all of that.
Yeah.
Which will be in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on the cruise, I didn't really want to get into the negative parts, because I just looked out and I saw everybody just having this great time. But, you know, there was, you know, some...
What was, like, one challenge that you had that you could share with us?
I don't think the head producers really wanted us there.
Mm.
And so, like, we never got, you know, you have those director's chairs and everybody had their name on them, and we didn't.
Oh.
We were like, okay. So there was that. I mean, the main writing producers, they all really liked us.
Uh-huh.
And then we have since gone on to work with them. But I think the producers wanted to write a friend of theirs to be brought on staff.
Mm.
And she had written a script the same time we did. And hers, you know, for whatever reason, she's a good writer. But, you know, sometimes it didn't click with that story or those characters.
Right.
And, you know, we were able to capture them and were brought on. So.
And that's how it works.
That's how, yes.
Yes.
And, you know, it doesn't, you know, everyone has their slot. And, you know, I teach acting in LA and in New York. Actually, I'm going to be teaching the end of this month. that by you getting a job is not taking a job from somebody else. Mindy Cohen from Facts of Life was telling me, if your name is in the envelope, it's in the envelope and it's meant to happen for you.
Right.
You know, unless Faye Dunaway is reading the card. But there's enough for everybody.
Yes.
And so, you know, I tell people I work with that, like, don't be bitter about other people. Like, celebrate their success.
Mm-hmm.
And when your timing is right for you, that's what it'll be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I totally agree that there's room for everybody. I mean, there's so many people that do interviews like I do. And I think there's room for all of us.
Yeah.
No, nobody does it like me, but I don't do it like somebody else. So, but there's room for all of us. I agree. And when it happens, it happens. And speaking of Rose's mother episode and the cruise.
Yes.
So one night, I think it was like the second to last night for dinner, they had duck a l'orange on the menu. And when I saw that, I was like, I have to order that because...
Was it?
It was good.
Okay,
Yeah. It was fine. But
Like Dirk's?
It's not like Dirk's, but I am dating...
His arms, yes.
Yes. And I am dating a younger man.
Oh, really?
Yes. So when I saw the duck a l'orange, I mean, it's good.
It is?
Yeah.
Do you eat that or the water crust?
I ate the duck a l'orange.
Okay, good for you.
And he was supportive of me eating it.
That's
so
very nice.
Yes. But
where'd you two meet?
We met on Chappie, which is
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. Yeah. I'm not on it. I think I might have been on it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's like for people who don't know, it's the gay dating app. It's like gay Tinder dating app where you swipe and
Tinder's
people
not
swipe.
Gay?
I mean, Tinder's gay. It can be, but Chappie's like all gay. So
all gay
all
the time.
Exactly. Okay. So year and a half
Tinder.
Later.
Like you swipe right and you connect, like, you know, and you're a little match.
Yes.
And then you go hi and they're like nothing.
Yes.
Or suddenly they disappear.
I
heard that people like sometimes like accept everybody.
Yes. They
because
do
they
it
want
like
the
a game.
Validation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, it's crazy.
I don't approve of that.
I mean, Chappie is the same way. And my boyfriend was like one of the few people who actually was able, to have a conversation. So,
nice. Cool.
So a year and a half later, we're still having conversations. And we actually booked
the
cruise.
But only online. No,
yeah, exactly. We only text. We didn't never see each other. But
I like that.
We actually booked the cruise 6 months into our relationship.
Oh.
And we
oh
were
my
like,
God, what would happen?
You know, a year exactly. And we were like, I was like, well, now you can't break up with me because we have to go on this cruise together.
I should try that.
Yeah.
I offered my room up on the cruise and online, and like, I got a couple offers actually.
Of course.
Like, but I said, like, I think it was like in January, I said, if you start dating me now, you might get to come on the cruise with me. Yes. Maybe if they invite me back, I'll have a contest. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not above that.
No, why not?
Why not, right?
Exactly.
Except then you have to share a room with somebody.
Well, but maybe by the time, depending on when they win it, by the time you go,
that's
it
true.
Could be like quite the excitement.
Connection.
Yes, exactly. Just like on the Golden Girls when they had that episode when they were on that dating show.
Yeah, there you go.
And they were lesbians.
Lesbians.
Yes. Okay, so... can you tell us any stories about writing for?
No.
Okay.
No. Any stories about?
About writing for like B. Arthur, Betty White, Estelle Getty, Rue McClanahan. Like who was, okay, wait, let me phrase it like this.
Okay.
Which character, I'll take it in this direction. Which character did you find the easiest to write for? Like which character just like flowed out of you?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes, where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Burying It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying,
I think the most delicious was Blanche. Mm-hmm. When we figured out that we started hearing the way she said words and mm-hmm. words that ended in ER, like butter, you know, just sounded most Southern. Mm-hmm. So we just started picking all ER words. And so if you look at our scripts, there are probably a few more ER words than most. She, meaning Rue McClanahan, wanted to challenge her character the most and would talk to us about that. So that excites a writer. Mm-hmm. It was just fun. It was, you know, delicious writing mm-hmm. words that you got to choose that I would never naturally speak that way.
Yes.
So, I mean, they all were great. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as like pure writing, that was hard. B was, you know, difficult in a way because she had to have great jokes. And so, same with mm-hmm. Sophia, because she would come through and we would use her a lot to just like not necessarily be in a scene, but she'd walk through and button a scene or give a little joke at the yes. end. So those jokes, we were like pictured it, you know, like a baseball player. She needed to hit a home run mm-hmm. each time. You yes. could just give her like, eh.
Right.
Kinda, yeah. So that bar was very, very high, mm-hmm. but it was like comedy writing 101.
And how long did you have like to write an episode or...
You would go off and write your episode, and mm-hmm. then you'd bring it back and show it to the group, and then, of course, they'd pick it apart.
Right.
But sometimes, like, they would send us off and say, come up with 5 jokes for the end of the scene.
Mm.
And it has to be, a Dorothy joke, or you could bring Sophia through.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we'd go off, and, I never thought of myself as, like, a funny, funny writer, mm-hmm. more character-oriented.
Yes.
So really, like, how do you craft the joke? So we learned that way, and we'd come back in, you pitch them, and they'd go, let's, go with this one and put it in the script.
And did the actors ever, were they ever allowed to, like, shut something down if they were like, oh, I don't like this? Or is that more, like, on the producer side? That
would be like, every show is different. Mm-hmm. So there are some shows, which shall remain nameless and actors, that just go, nope, obviously Roseanne was a tough one because sometimes they'd make the writers go down and pitch them to her. Luckily, that never happened to me. That would have been terrifying.
Wow. Yeah.
She's like, no, you're fired. Boom. On Golden Girls, especially the first season, the actors were all very respectful.
Mm.
So unless there was something really that they didn't like, they would, at least give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then if it doesn't get a laugh, then we would change it.
Yeah.
But they pretty much said basically everything. And the weeks that Susan Harris's scripts were done mm-hmm. that she specifically wrote, everyone knew you can't change anything unless she wanted to change
right.
it. So that was good because then it gave us time to breathe and move on to the other scripts that we had to do because we were multitasking,
mm-hmm.
And those days you do like 24 or more episodes a season.
Right.
So you're, writing one, everyone's off writing their own.
Mm-hmm.
You're fixing those, you're casting them, and then you were thinking of other episodes and, certain shows, which not so much on Golden Girls, you come up with arcs of like, where is that season going?
Right, right.
So we did that a lot on Gilmore Girls because
mm-hmm.
that's really,
Right, more of a story.
Story, driven. Yes. Yeah. And back in the day of Golden Girls, because you could only see the shows in syndication,
mm-hmm.
they wanted to be able to, you could get them out of order. So it's called Evergreen. So I think that's why when you watch Golden Girls, they kind of all end up where they kind of started. They have some little lesson,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like a Roseanne where people died or she changed jobs,
right.
where it was more like real life, that's why I loved Roseanne because it could be like super funny. And then it could be like, oh my God, like she hit him or someone died and they're having to tell people on the phone or different things like that. That made it more exciting as a writer because you are following reality in a way.
Yes.
Or TV reality, yes. whatever the hell that is.
Well, I remember my aunt loved Roseanne when it was on. And she was like, well, she loved it because she felt like it was real. Like it was something everyone could relate to. And I didn't watch like every single episode of Roseanne, but I did watch.
Get out of here.
I'm not going to have my own apartment.
Oh, yes, you are. I want to take over the apartment.
Oh.
I want to move to New York.
Oh,
and
it would be great to have you here full time.
I mean,
I'm moving out.
Okay, so I could?
You could just move right in. Yeah.
We'll talk to them.
Okay, terrific. But speaking of Roseanne, you did write one of the most famous episodes of the time of the series, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, when Mariel Hemingway and Roseanne kissed.
And getting to Mariel Hemingway. So we offered it to a bunch of actors. And yes. It was funny. Like, I love actors and was involved in casting. So I made a list. I think we even had Madonna on at one time. And that was early on in her career, obviously. And maybe she had done... what was the first movie she did?
Desperately Seeking Susan. Yeah. Yes.
But you knew, obviously, she was something then.
Yes.
Well, she had done more by then. But most actresses would not do it because back then you would have been labeled a lesbian and that you might not work again.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariel Hemingway had already done Personal Best, which was a movie where she played a lesbian. And she was like, I don't care, you know.
Right.
And, you know, she wasn't getting offered a lot of sitcom work. She was more of a dramatic actress.
Right.
And she grabbed it and ran with it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, she was great on it. And I've always loved her. And, I mean, like you said, back then it was a huge thing because, I mean, that was before Ellen, before Will and Grace, before
everything. Often acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's steps, you know, and I always acknowledge Soap, which was another Susan Harris show.
Billy Crystal was on that.
Yes. And 30 something. Mm-hmm. They're all steps that we've gotten to get to Will and Grace.
Yes.
You don't just go, and now it's Will and Grace and Ellen. I think you had to have those barriers and, you know, taking down pieces of that wall.
Yes.
But I mean, ABC wasn't even going to air the episode, and Roseanne and her then husband, Tom Arnold, said, we'll buy back the episode and put it on HBO if you don't air it.
Wow.
And then, but I would come home from work and I would turn on the, when we watched the 11 o'clock news, the local news, and there they were doing stories about our episode.
Yeah.
And like, how did we make the news?
Because back then it was major news.
Yeah, it was news.
And no other program was doing things like that. No. So, I mean.
That's what I loved about it. It was just, you know, we always said like you'd find coins in the, you know, in the cushions.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt like that couch, like that was just a regular couch and people just hung out. And...
Yes. I mean, it was so groundbreaking.
I think so.
Yeah.
And which is crazy that there weren't more shows like that since then. I was like, why can't it just be really discussing the realities of what's happening in the world today?
Right.
And that's why my writing partner always like, they should bring back Roseanne and like talk about what's happening. And of course they did.
Yes.
And all of that happened.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. That was a fun adventure.
Yes. I mean, I know you're writing the book, The Girls from Golden to Gilmore and Roseanne.
Which is about all the wonderful women I've worked with.
Yes.
And Roseanne.
Yes.
So each chapter will be about the different women and celebrating them.
That's going to be so great.
Yes.
Now, have you written the book and you're shopping around, or you're going to be starting it?
Working on chapters and working on a proposal, which I would love to be paid to write it, but if not, I'm just going to write it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was going to have time on the cruise to do it, but I didn't.
Yes.
But I'm hoping next week to get the proposal out and then keep barreling through. And I started going through, I have kept journals since my days at NYU.
Oh, wow.
And we had a dance teacher that just, for a project, she was like, you need to start a journal. Because I wasn't a journal writer as a kid. And I've been keeping them since then. And you know, you go through phases where you write a lot.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my God, I haven't written in a month. So I went through all my journals and I pulled all the stuff dealing with the women that I've worked with.
Oh my God.
And so that was really interesting to see where I was in my head.
Yes.
And then I thought I could put those in the book. It would be kind of interesting to have, you know, exactly what I was thinking at that moment.
Yes. And in going back through that time in your life, as you're reading through back through your journals, I mean, what goes through your head? Like, do
I
you
slept
ever...
with that. Who's that person? I did keep track. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that is
That's good.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You don't want to be like Samantha on
Sex and the City,
where she's in that episode where they're like, how many sexual partners have you had? And she's like, this week?
Yes. Well, it was interesting. It was also fun because I do a thing at the end of the year of like events and obviously for me, you know, meeting people.
Yes.
And so some of the names I actually started looking up on Facebook and I contacted a couple of the guys and they're like, whoa, that was like, you know, 15, 20 years
ago. Oh my
God. How did you find me? Or, you know, and I have gotten in touch with a lot of them and some we've like, you know, met up in New York and had drinks and catch up. And that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
They're like, who are you? Like, who are we? Because I feel like I've been different people
right.
through the years. Right. So it's fun to connect and hear from other people, like what they thought of me mm-hmm. or what our impression of that moment was.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I know. That's a whole other book,
I guess,
right?
Yes. That's a different book. Yes. But now when you look at your career stuff mm-hmm. going back, what's like one thing that you're like, just like totally makes you smile? Like, what have you come across so far?
I smile at all of them because they're all so intense. Mm-hmm. When you're on a TV show, you give up your life because you don't know what time you're going to get home. On mm-hmm. especially a multicam show, you start on Monday and you film on Friday, let's say.
Right.
So if something happens bad at the run-through, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're staying there whatever hours. Mm-hmm. It could be 10, 11, 12, 1, 2 in the morning because the next day they have to rehearse it. And then Friday, the audience is coming in and we're filming it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally tell your friends, I'll see you in March, April. Mm-hmm. And so that part of it, like, I'm glad I'm not on one.
Yeah.
Of course, I would love to do another show again and the right one. And if it's worth it just to do a show to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, the money would be good, but I've been finding so much more joy in doing theater mm-hmm. now.
Yes, which actually tonight, as we're sitting here yes. this morning recording, tonight you have, and tomorrow, you have a play reading of a yes. new play that you're
starring Nathan Lee Grant.
Yes.
That he commissioned my other writing partner, Christian McLaughlin, to write. And it's just a crazy, cool, fun show. Nat Queen Cole.
Yes.
The illegitimate child of Nat King Cole and Josephine Baker.
Oh my God, it's going to be so much fun.
And he is so super talented. And I've had just the best time this week. And it's just as I'm walking to rehearsals, I'm thinking, I want to live in New York and have this as my job of walking mm-hmm. to a rehearsal. And so that's why I've been doing so much theater, hoping something will bring me back here for a very long extended stay.
That
would be the way I would just start it, like come for 4 months or something. And then, you know, if it's meant to be, I'll keep staying here.
Yes. So now, speaking of theater, let's talk a little bit about theater and then we could go back to some other things. Yes. So what is it like to write for theater as opposed to TV? Is your process the same?
The nice thing about theater is that you can really explore mm-hmm. characters. In a half hour, you're in, you're out. So you really learn how to write, brief
mm-hmm.
and get information out really quickly. For an example, you might have heard of this show we were doing for Logo. It started with Logo, A Silver Foxes, mm-hmm. which is kind of a gay men's Golden Girls. And it got a lot of press.
With Leslie Jordan.
Leslie Jordan, George Takei, yes. Bruce Vilanch, Sherry O'Terry, mm-hmm. Todd Sherry, Melissa Peterman. So with that, we wrote the half-hour script. And then when we found out Logo couldn't afford it and no network would even open it to read it because it was gay and old people.
Right.
And so I don't let that get in my way. I'm like, okay, how can we get this going? So my writing partner, Jim Berg, and I decided to turn it into a play, which we've just done, which George Takei wants to do in New York,
which
I think would be big, really big. And I met with some producers while I was here. And so hopefully I'll be back soon. You'll have to come for the reading
yes.
of that. But with that, we realized as we're writing it, when you have the luxury of an hour and a half as opposed to 22 minutes,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden we could develop their backstories. And it was so eye-opening and enriching for us as writers to really get into some messy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be a joke. It can be real. We could get into, is one of them HIV positive? Mm-hmm. Does someone have dementia? All the stuff that the real characters could go through.
Yes.
So we really love that. And I can't wait for people to see this because it's super funny, but it's also, heartfelt.
Yes.
You, which is kind of like the Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And I mean, one of the things about the Golden Girls and one of the things about how you're describing the show is that it's something that everybody can relate to because everybody has somebody in their family or a friend family who has had dementia or they know someone who's been HIV positive
but also any age about we as gay people we kind of create our own families.
Yes.
And that's what these guys do. And so any ages can be able to relate. Like
right,
the Golden
right,
Girls.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Right.
And also like the Golden Girls, we all can see ourselves in each one of these
yes.
characters.
Yes.
So
I mean, which Golden Girl are you? Which I know we discussed on the cruise, but for my listeners.
For the listeners who weren't there. I have to say I'm a Sophia only because Estelle Getty and I got very close. And so I have to be her so that I can carry her with me wherever I go.
Oh, yes, I love that.
And she's there in spirit.
My favorite movie of hers that she was in was Mannequin. I loved her in that.
I mean, how exciting for her at that age to suddenly be offered movies.
Yes.
And here she is, you know, making a movie with Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
She got that, you know.
Yeah.
She worked hard doing theater and like down in the village or wherever when she, you know, she would tell me stories how she would make, I think she's living in Queens or Brooklyn. And she'd make dinner for her family and then go, okay, I'm going to rehearsal. And then off she'd go on a train and have, you know, be there with Harvey Fierstein or whoever and doing, you know, in the basement of wherever.
Yes.
And just toiling away because she loved acting. And then suddenly you're in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you're being invited to premieres and you're going on, you know, talk shows and red carpets. And what's that like?
Yeah.
And she enjoyed every second of it.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I still remember her appearance on Regis and Kathy Lee.
Oh, my.
When she had come out with, like, an exercise video for older people.
Yes.
And I distinctly remember the different exercises she was showing.
Really? Should we do some of them now?
We could.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we could do push-ups against the wall.
We should do that on the cruise.
Oh my God, that would be so much fun.
That's a really cute idea.
That would be a great idea because they have that jazzercise.
Yes.
Yes. I will make sure Chad gets this.
Okay.
That would be incredible. That would be incredible. So one of the theater shows I do want to talk about that you wrote was called, well, now it's called Right Before I Go, but it was formerly titled Suicide Notes, performed similarly. In
like
the style
Vaginimal.
Of my vagina monologues,
So I had a very close friend, Kevin Gill, die by suicide.
Mm.
And as a comedy writer, I didn't know how to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And his best friend and I split up responsibilities. She was going to plan the memorial and host that, and I was going to be in charge if anybody had questions. So people would call me, and I literally would have to relive it and answer their questions every time the phone rang, which was very difficult.
Wow.
And there was a lot of shame I found out about it because I didn't really know that much about suicide. And I was like, we have to do something about this. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And then I came up with the idea and started collecting real suicide notes. At the time, I was also trying to get his note.
Mm.
So that was a quest. And I was hoping that note would answer the questions of why.
Uh-huh.
And then I just came up with the idea of doing four actors sitting on stools reading all the notes from Kurt Cobain and war veterans and Virginia Woolf and LGBTQ and kids that were bullied.
Oh my gosh.
It was an intense hour. We started it at the Hollywood Fringe Festival, I don't know, 6 years ago. And then a producer here, Aaron Craig, optioned it. And we did a big benefit at Town Hall in New York. And Michael Wilson, the Broadway director, got involved.
Yes.
But we had Judith Light and Amber Tamblyn and Vanessa Williams and Lois Smith and Ellen Burstyn and Elizabeth Ashley. And it was like, Alice Ripley, all these Broadway people.
Oh my God.
The day I walked to Town Hall, I was in tears thinking of myself as like a little NYU student with a huge Jufro and a fake down jacket. I would have like, I couldn't believe that here I was going to a big theater where thousands of people were coming to honor my friend, but also for them to give voice to what was in my head and heart. So since then, the director suggested that when I tell the story of my friend, he says, you really humanize it. Is there any way to put that in the play? So I created a narrator character that wasn't going to be me, but each rewrite, everyone kept urging, you have to put yourself, which was hard because I had to open up my heart and put it really out there for everyone to see. And the first time we were doing it in Orlando 2 years ago, on Suicide Prevention Day, the person playing me got a job and had to drop out. And the director was like, you're doing it tonight.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what? And when I got to my friend's name, I couldn't say it. It stuck in my throat. And I just like, what would I say to my actors? And I pushed through and of course tears came. And it was, you know, an intense experience for people to watch that.
Yes,
and since
I'm sure.
I've done it with high school students in Claremont, California, and I've done it in Bethesda with teen actors, and I'm doing it hopefully, if the world is still here, Fairfield University on the 23rd of March at 7 o'clock.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. But my goal is to do it all over. I would love to do it every weekend that I could, but to get it published so that people from wherever, in the world can option it, and the money would go into research and into getting the word out and helping save lives.
Oh, that would be great. I mean, such an important topic and something that everybody can relate to.
I've asked the question after the shows. I usually do a little talk back, and I ask, raise your hand if you've been touched by it. And literally like 98% of the audience raises their hand, and then they look around and people don't realize whether they're one degree or they have felt that way themselves. So if you're interested, I would love to bring it to any community. They can contact me, because it really is four people and me or somebody else playing me on stools reading it. So you don't need much rehearsal.
That's incredible. That's incredible. I hope there's I definitely think there's a wider audience for it. So
and it's funny, and you do laugh, because I do add humor to it. Mm-hmm. And some of the notes, like, I mean, they're so poetic.
Yeah.
You can't believe people in that much despair come up with those words. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was kind of shocked reading each one of them. They're very intense and beautifully written.
How open were people, like, of the friends or family when you contacted about getting the notes? How open were they?
Well, a lot of them were in the public domain.
Oh, okay.
So like Virginia Woolf's and Kurt Cobain's. How it's staged in the play is I have someone reading it as Courtney Love, because she actually recorded it.
Yes.
To be played at a big memorial in a park for people.
Mm.
If anybody has one of their loved one and wants to include it, I think of it as like a living, breathing organism. Mm-hmm. And I would love to, not love is the word, but I would add them to the show, you know, if people wanted to honor their loved
ones.
Oh, that's
beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, anybody listening, get in touch with me. I'll get in touch with Stan, or get in touch with Stan directly if you want to contribute a note to the show.
Be great.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite hobbies outside of entertainment?
I love to run. Mm-hmm. I'm a big runner. So I've done a couple half marathons, a lot of 5 and 10 Ks. So that's been just a great, just let your mind go.
Yes.
And listen to music and just go.
Yes. Did you go to the gym? On the cruise?
I went to the gym 3 times, by the way.
That's amazing. And did you run on the treadmill overlooking
the
water?
I did the bike, but I was right near the...
Yeah.
I didn't have the right shoes, I think, for running.
Oh, okay.
So I did the bike.
All right. But still, that
still,
view
come
is
on.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
I love junk shopping.
Oh, interesting.
And not junk, but like vintage stores. I love vintage clothes. There's just something about other people's clothes. So if anybody wants to give me their clothes.
Oh, I'm actually going to be getting rid of some clothes.
Really? I'm going to look at it before I leave.
Yes.
There's something about, and I've ever since like being at NYU and being a poor student, and my friend Randy and I, she introduced me to vintage clothing.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. And there's just, you know, because it's like one of a kind pieces.
Yes, right.
And so a lot of times I'll be out and someone will say like, you know, who designed that shirt? And I'm like, I don't know. And it's like JCPenney or, you know, but back in the day, and now it's come, another full circle of it being very fashionable and stylish, something retro.
Yes.
So and then I can't get rid of things. And so I just have, you know, is it pointy shoes season or is it the flat shoes? So I keep them all.
That's good.
Yeah.
This way you're ready for any fashion thing that's happening.
And that's kind of fun when you're going to party. You're like, I putting things together. It's a fun part of the day.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I'm not like a real fashionista, so I
wouldn't call myself a fashionista, although I feel I am put together.
Yes.
As long as like something matches with my shoes.
Yeah.
Or even if it's just your underwear.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. I love it.
Color-wise, I'm talking.
Yes. Yes. All right. Before we get to my final question, let's just go back to some TV stuff. Okay. I do actually want to talk about Gilmore Girls for a second, because you came in on season 5 of Gilmore Girls. So
I met Amy Sherman-Palladino on Roseanne,
mm-hmm.
and then my writing partner, Jim, and I fell in love with her and just her style and her just boldness and just her vision. She just knew those characters. You know, there'd be a room full of mostly male white writers.
Yeah.
And you know, she'd walk in a room and go, no, Darlene wouldn't do this, and here's why. And I'm like, whoa, she just told them off. And she just knew the characters so well and the honesty of it, but also very funny. So we stayed in touch with her and, you know, went to her wedding and always hung out. And then she did Gilmore Girls and we loved it. And then season 5, before it started, her and her husband invited us to the Chateau Marmont. Oh. And, yes. And we're like, oh, I love that place. And for drinks. And she said, I just need some friends on staff, you know. And I was like, yeah, you have a hit show. Mm-hmm. You should be enjoying it. Great actors, great writing. Why are you not enjoying it? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was my mission to see that she have a good time with it and not worry so much. She'd gone through a lot of different writers on the show. Mm. And we said, we were in development at that time. Uh-huh. And we said, we'll give up development of our own projects and focus on the show. And I'm so glad wow. I did. I learned so much and I met great people. And so many of the actors I've been, have been in my plays. Mm-hmm. And so it's great to see them in different styles.
That's so exciting.
And I love them all. And then through the festival, I've just gotten really, really close with so many of them.
Mm-hmm. And what's it like to come into writing a show? You know, this was season 5, so it was 5 seasons in, as opposed to like Golden Girls, you started first season.
Well, we got the job on a Thursday and we're like, you're starting Monday. And we're like, wait, what? Wow. And I had not really watched it. Mm-hmm. And back then, people were like, we had video cassettes. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that? Google it.
Right.
So I think Thursday night, Warner Brothers sends over these long 4 boxes of each season.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, how am I going to get through all those? I invented binge watching actually too. And
you are quite the inventor.
I am. Henry Ford and me. And so I literally made food and just like, I had to get up, take mm-hmm. the cassette in and out. Yep. And as I'm watching, I'm like going, whoa, like this is really good. Mm-hmm. And the actors, and like, I couldn't wait to get to work and write for them, especially, you know, Lauren Graham. We clicked right away. Yeah. I just think she's everything.
Yes. Yeah.
She's
yes.
just so funny and so beautiful and just a really good actor.
Mm-hmm.
And just the coolest person in the world.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And she's done a lot of theater too.
Yeah, she did. Yes. I remember, I kept saying, go to theater. And then she was like texting me, I got offered Guys and Dolls.
Yes.
And I was like, and I couldn't come in and see it. I sent flowers. And I was so happy for her because I knew that she, you know, was just in heaven doing yes. something like that.
Yes. And the other person on that show who I adore is Melissa McCarthy.
And yes.
What was it like?
She was really, really, really funny. Mm-hmm. And I remember we write in a building far from the set. Mm. And when I got the job, Amy knew that I was starting to direct theater.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, you can be on the set all the time. Well, I was never on the set because we had such a small writing staff.
Yeah.
And I had to just stay in the room and mm-hmm. keep that going. But I remember we would sometimes eat our lunch at these picnic tables outside of our big office buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Melissa would come by and just hang and
oh,
I
wow.
just really, really liked her and obviously thought she was so funny. And then I was doing my TV show for Lifetime, Rita Rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Alan Poole was directing that J-Lo movie, Plan B, was it? Or about, she said, yeah. And she got pregnant
sure.
the day she met like a guy she really liked.
Oh, okay.
And so I went over there to visit him. It was on the same lot as our TV show. And it was like, Melissa's there. Like, what are you doing here? And she was in the movie.
Oh, wow.
And I said, oh, I'm doing this TV show with Nicole Sullivan. I love Nicole. She's like, put me on the show. I'm like, okay. And this was before Bridesmaids.
Wow.
And so I went back to the office. I said, you know, that woman that played Suki and she's big with Groundlings. She'd never done a multicam show. Mm-hmm. She'd only done hour shows and not that much TV. She had done that Samantha Who.
Yes.
But she
yes.
had not done.
Which I loved her on.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
And so I went back. We created a part for her on the show. And Michael McDonald, you know him? He's a Groundlings person.
Not offhand.
He's super funny.
Okay.
Well, the two of them, it's like, okay, just film once our words and just do what you want because they're, you know, the Groundling members, so they
right.
are so hysterical with improv.
Yes, yes.
And as Nicole Sullivan, so we're just like, keep the cameras rolling. Like,
oh my God.
And that was really, really fun. And fun to see her do something different.
Yeah.
And also to see her, like, figuring out multicam, mm-hmm. which is very different, and she didn't know.
As opposed to single cam.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, where it's very intimate,
mm-hmm.
and a multicam is more like a play.
Right.
And so at the first run-through, she was, like, downplaying everything, and everyone's, like, going, your friend. Why do we have to hire your friend? I'm like, no, she's funny. Just wait. You know, and that's, you just don't know.
Right.
So
right. Oh, that's incredible.
And then she went on to do Mike and Molly.
Yes.
And, yeah, the little bridesmaids thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. And now.
And now, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Incredible. So I always end my interviews playing off of the title of my podcast, Burying It All with Call Me Adam.
Yeah, why is it called that?
Because
I have to take my clothes off?
I mean, it could go either
okay,
way.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, because I want people to bare their
reveal
souls.
Them. Yes,
yes,
okay.
Yes. It's a play on words.
Okay.
My whole life has been a play on words.
Okay.
So hence why I started my website as a dumbbells quest, because I was just like a stupid person looking for answers. So now the burying it all is I want people to reveal things.
And have you learned things?
Yes, I have. Have I learned things?
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
life.
I've learned a lot of things okay. about people.
So about yourself?
Oh, yes. I have learned that I say so a lot in my interviews. When I'm listening back to them, I throughout the interview, I'm like, so. And I have to really try to stop doing that because it's annoying for
it's
me to
so
listen
annoying.
To.
It.
Exactly.
Right, right. Okay.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing I've learned about myself.
Now you tell me.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I say yes a lot too. So I have to try to change up my words a little bit.
And it's a positive word.
It right, is. That's so. True. That's true. So if you were to bear it all.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Here we
oh,
go.
There we go. Yeah, right. Okay. So we're going to redo that because
okay.
I don't want so.
Okay.
If you were to bear it all and reveal something about yourself that you have not talked about previously, what would you share
oh,
with me
my
today?
Oh, God. I would love to be able to sing. I can't sing. I've never karaoke'd.
Mm.
So if that's a verb.
Yeah, it can be a verb.
I'd like to conquer fears like that.
Okay.
And so it would be really scary.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, if I could like sing in front of other people,
mm-hmm.
I think, and it's not going to happen right now. So don't even get
that. No,
like,
I wasn't going to say.
Even though this mic is so good for singing.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, but maybe that could be your goal. If you go back on the Golden Girls cruise, we did have karaoke
I know,
night this
and I,
year.
And I hid in my room.
One,
yes.
Yes. But if there's one next year, maybe that could be your goal. Because what better group to perform it for? They were so supportive. I mean, I did it. I don't yeah. sing. I like was speaking the words. I was trying
okay.
to do, I was doing like a little bit of, I modeled it a little bit after Blanche a little bit.
Okay.
And so I was like speaking and then I did sing the chorus here and there.
Okay.
And people enjoyed it. So as long as you make it entertaining.
Or maybe I could do a duet with someone.
Oh yes.
That could mm-hmm. be.
Because one of the, you could do a duet.
Like, I Got You Babe.
Yes. Or Islands in the Stream. It's not a very rangy.
It's not? It feels like you really have to harmonize on that.
Well, you could make it your own. You just
that's
have to,
true.
You know, or
okay.
you could find a duet that has where one person sings and the other person maybe is just speaking something.
Okay.
And that could be your first step.
Okay.
It's all about, like you said earlier, it's all about steps.
Yeah,
and
so I got to take a step to that.
Do.
And suddenly
yeah.
I'll be headlining.
Exactly.
On the third cruise.
Exactly. Or you'll have your, you'll be in Vegas. Stan Zimmerman
there you go.
Karaoke.
Okay. Or go into Kinky Boots or something.
Yes. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
There we go. Yes. Well, that.
Or in drag.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That might help overcome your fear.
I've never
because...
told that, but I'll save that for the book.
Okay. All right. Which book now?
The Girls.
Okay, The Girls.
Yes.
All right.
I may reveal the one time I've done drag.
Oh, that would be amazing.
How's that for a tease?
That's a great tease.
Yes.
Yes. So everybody listening to this podcast, be sure to find Stan on
Follow
social media.
Me.
Where can people find you on social media?
Everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
What's your handle?
Zimmerman Stan. I reversed it.
Okay.
There you go. But put my name in and you can find me. Twitter, I'm mad because they allow the orange one to get away with
yeah, I
a
know.
Lot of bullying, which I don't like. But yeah. But I'm very approachable, and let me know how you feel. And some people on the cruise were so shy about, you know, talking to me, or they'd be like, you're just like a person.
Yes.
Like, yeah, we're all people.
Exactly.
And, you know, I love hearing about, you know, that if people were affected by something
mm-hmm.
that I created or wrote.
Yes. Well, watch The Golden Girls, watch Gilmore Girls, Roseanne. And you have two plays coming up in L.A.
Yes. We're doing The Diary of Anne Frank, Latinx.
Yes.
In April 13th.
Ooh.
I know. That's a whole couple hours. And also, Isn't It Romantic? Wendy Wasserstein's classic comedy with a great all-star cast. And it's super funny. And I would love
and
to
bring it. And that's in May.
That's May 15th through 31st. And all the tickets are on brownpapertickets.com or through my website. You can find it. But I would love to bring that to New York because it would have been Wendy Wasserstein's 70th birthday. She died of lymphoma in 2006. And I feel like New Yorkers would really celebrate her. And that's a dream.
They would.
Yes.
They would. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. And like I said, everybody listening, go see Stan's stuff.
Please. Support theater.
Yes. Awesome.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. CallMeAdam.com.
Thanks for listening. For more Call Me Adam interviews, visit CallMeAdam.com and follow me on social media. On Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CallMeAdamNYC.
Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities. And I am here to tell you that yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview, sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, CallMeAdam.com. You can get your very own autographed copy.